workers in privatized firms are earning about 30% less per year than similar workers. So it's a huge decrease in earnings.
Welcome to Vox Dev Talks. My name is Tim Phillips. When governments want to raise revenue quickly, they'll often look for state-owned assets to privatise. This raises money for the government, but what's the effect on people who work in these firms? David Arnold of University of California, San Diego, is the author of a paper that analyses the impact of privatization in Brazil. And he joins me now. David, welcome to Vox Dev Talks.
Hi, Tim. Thanks so much for having me.
Most privatization research isn't like yours because it focuses on the impact of privatization on that firm's profits or its efficiency. Generally speaking, what are the results for that? Are they positive? Do both improve?
Yeah, so I think it depends a little bit on the exact context of the privatization. So privatization I studied is in Brazil in the 1990s. This was a time where there were large waves of privatization kind of all across the world. And so I think if you look at privatization generally, you need to take into account what is the exact context of in which this privatization is happening. However, there is, since this time, so much research on this topic of efficiency and profits that we do have a good sense across these different settings, kind of on average, what has happened in the world. I would say there's a great review article by Magenson and Netter in the Journal of Economic Literature that documents all these studies that show the empirical effects. And generally, they do find that different measures of firm profits and efficiency do increase after privatization. So the exact methods and the exact measures of what is efficiency do vary. But I would say on average, they do find things like increases in output, decreases in costs, both which are going to increase efficiency at the firm and raise profits for those firms.
What's the explanation for why these improvements occur?
So I think it's generally about the incentives at these firms. And so when you have a private firm, the incentives are very clear for the management. The goal is to maximize profit. And how you're going to do that oftentimes is to run that business as efficiently as possible. Mm-hmm. But when you have a government that's running these state-owned enterprises, sometimes the incentives are not 100% clear what we're trying to maximize. So even if it is a noble goal to maximize some measure of social welfare as they define it, social welfare is a bit of an abstract concept. It's hard to measure. It's hard to see if those goals are being hit. And then when you actually try to incentivize managers to maximize social welfare, it's not clear how you're going to enforce that. And so this is the principal agent problem. Mm-hmm. You have some goal and it's unclear how you can incentivize the agents to actually maximize that goal. And so this leads to potentially, in some cases, poor management practices. They may not be trying to maximize output, lower prices. They may be trying to maximize something else that leads to inefficient outcomes for these firms.
Now, you have an alternative theory about why profits might improve. What was that?
Yeah, so I think this has been definitely discussed as a potential source of some of those profit increases, which is decreased labor costs. So what I wanted to test is that after things are privatized, do the labor costs go down? Do they fire workers? How does that impact the workers long term? The reason why we might think this is happening is because when things are mentioned that they're going to be privatized, so for example, in Brazil, one of the privatization events I study is the case of the telecommunications company, Telebrás. Mm-hmm. When Telebrás was up for privatization, immediately the workers went on strike. They feared that they were going to be laid off. They feared that they were going to see reduced compensation. And so I wanted to study is, were these fears realized when Telebrás was eventually privatized? And then second, is Telebrás the modal story or is it an outlier? Do other firms that are privatized see these same effects? Mm-hmm. And the second goal, which I think has not really been studied in prior literature, is to say, how did this affect the broader labor market? And so what I mean by that is Telebrás, for example, is a very large firm. It pays very high wages. So if I'm a private firm hiring in the same labor market, I may need to also offer higher wages in order to attract workers. And so when it's privatized, you might see Telebrás' wages go down, but you might also see the private sector that are hiring similar workers, their wages go down. And so it's these spillover effects that really have not been looked at in terms of the potential costs of privatization.
I see. So it's important to realize just how important these large firms are in the labor market. I remember when we did a previous Vox Dev Talks about state-owned enterprises in India, the scale of employment is quite remarkable.
Exactly. So I think it will depend on the context. In Brazil, a lot of these companies are very large. institutions that hire lots of workers and pay great wages. And so changing how these firms operate is definitely going to have broader labor market effects. And so by looking at those kind of spillovers, we can also learn more about, you know, how do labor markets generally work? How does competition between firms work?
So tell me more about this wave of privatization in Brazil. So this happened in the early 90s, you said. How many enterprises were involved? How much money did they raise?
So yes, this happened mostly in the 90s. There are some privatization events on both ends of that, but mostly in the 90s. Mm-hmm. It raised about 80 billion US dollars. If you translate it to kind of the amount of workers that were impacted, if you look at all formal sector employment in Brazil, about 3% of workers were employed in a firm that was privatized during this time. So it's a relatively large shock to the labor market.
Mm.
In my paper in particular, I actually am not able to study all of these events. Due to data limitations, I really study events that happened after 1995, which is about 50% of the total events that occurred during this period.
Why did the Brazilian government embark on such an ambitious privatization project at this time?
This was actually part of kind of even broader reforms in Brazil at the time. And so in the 80s, they had a number of economic crises, most notably inflation crises, where inflation was really dampening growth. And so they had a number of reforms aimed at improving kind of the macroeconomic outcomes, as well as funding the public sector without inflationary policies. And so some of the other policies was a currency reform. Another really big policy was a trade liberalization reform where they lowered tariffs on kind of a lot of goods. Mm-hmm. And then this privatization was also part of this. And I think it was for two reasons. One very clear advantage of the privatization event is that when a government is in debt, privatization will raise lots of revenue very quickly. And so that's a clear advantage for the government. The second is that there was a belief that it might improve efficiency. And so even if you ignore the public debt argument, they may have wanted to do it in order to increase efficiency, hopefully help the macroeconomy. That's at least the kind of political hopes of that privatization program.
You really do need good data for this, don't you? Because I would have thought to find out about the impact on workers, on how much they're paid, you need to match the individual workers to firms and to know how much they're earning. Where do you get the data for this? How do you get the data for this?
It does rely on very specific data. Individual worker level data and matching that worker to actually where they work is, I would say, pretty unique until somewhat recently.
Mm-hmm.
And recently, many countries have been making this data more available, and it's almost always comes directly from some government office.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for example, the US, Europe, many countries are offering this data to researchers if they have a research plan and they agree to some, of course, confidentiality concerns. And so this worked in exactly the same way. Approached the Ministry of Labor with a research idea. They approve the idea, you set up the data, and you get going. And so this data has been really important in labor economics. Particularly, it's really allowed us to study a lot of new questions about how firms particularly impact wages, because you have the entire universe of workers. And so you can study very particular questions in which you need this really rich, detailed data.
Well, no matter how rich your data is, though, David, as you've already said, there were so many changes going on in Brazil at this time that could have affected wages and employment. How can you isolate privatization as a cause?
So that's super important because, like I said, something like trade liberalization has been shown to have huge impacts on workers' wages. And so you need a way to take that out. And so the way I do it in the paper is that basically you can have such detailed data, you can, for every worker that's in a privatized firm, find a very similar worker in either a state-owned enterprise that is never privatized or a private sector firm that does the same thing as the state-owned enterprise. So for example, you might find two workers, they're similar age, they're working the same occupation, they live in the same area, and they work in the same industry. I can follow their earnings over time and just see how they diverge when that worker in that privatized firm, their firm goes through privatization. And so things like trade liberalization, things like technology change, those are likely to affect both workers in a very similar way.
Mm-hmm.
And so for example, if you just take two electricity workers, let's say there was a big revolution in the technology of the electricity industry that increased their wages, that would increase the wages for both the state-owned, the privatized worker, as well as the non-privatized worker. And so you identify privatization by just looking at the difference between these two workers. If there are other policies before privatization that was causing this change, you would see that before the privatization event. If you see a stark divergence right at privatization, well, then that's a good clue that that's kind of the cause of this divergence.
So the big question, what was the effect on earnings for workers who were affected by this privatization?
So I'm going to describe first the two channels and then talk about why disentangling these two channels is important.
Yes.
And so there are two reasons why you might see earnings declines. One is privatization is just a tumultuous time for a firm. They may lay off some workers. We know layoffs cause kind of long-term earnings losses for workers. There's well-documented research showing that. It's a big disruption to their lives, and it has kind of long-term consequences. And so that's one reason we might find earnings decreases. The other reason is because even if they stay at the firm, you have new management, they have different incentives, they may see wage cuts, even for workers that remain at these firms after privatization. Mm-hmm. And so I thought it was important to disentangle these two, because one is saying it's not really about the privatization as much as layoffs. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is saying, you know, it's about the management and about the privatization. And also it might affect how other firms respond. So if you see wage decreases and employment decreases, that might have a more larger effect on the broader labor market than if you just seen a change in the amount of labor hired by a few companies.
Yes.
And so what I find is that if you take both of those together, workers in privatized firms are earning about 30% less per year than similar workers. So it's a huge decrease in earnings. It happens gradually. So there is a decrease at the beginning, but it accumulates over time, which it would be consistent with something like they're just not seeing the raises that they were seeing before. And then so over time, they're getting further and further behind similar worker who was not privatized.
How long do you follow this forward for?
About 10 years. So it does flatten out at 10 years, but gradually the first 5 years, you continually see them falling further and further behind. And then it's pretty stable at 10 years. Mm-hmm. If you look at just the people who stay at their same firms, that's a different group. There's not going to be any displacement effect because these workers aren't being displaced. You still find around a 15% earnings decline.
Gosh.
So that's telling us these privatized firms are seeing large wage cuts within the firm. And this is not too surprising because if you actually look at the data before privatization, you can estimate wage premiums for basically every firm. And a wage premium is a measure of how much this firm pays relative to some other firm. Mm-hmm. And you can do that in very flexible ways with this data, controlling for a lot of aspects of what these firms are doing and who they're hiring. And you find that state-owned enterprises consistently pay about 15 to 20% more than other firms. So what seems to happen is after they are privatized, that wage premium essentially disappears. Now they're paying more like an average private sector firm.
So who ends up losing out the most on this? Because I mean, there's one story for state-owned firms that they've got too many managers and they pay them too much. But then again, the other story is that those managers can protect themselves and even after privatization, and maybe the low-paid workers lose out more.
Definitely. I think that's important in understanding the distributional consequences, the kind of wage inequality consequences of something like this. Mm-hmm. And so what I find is that if you look at both that displacement plus within earnings decline, the workers who really lose out are the ones without high school education. So if I split the sample by no high school education, high school, college, you see the effect for the individuals without high school education is about twice as large as for those other groups. And the reason is because these firms actually paid particularly high wage premiums to individuals with low education. And so when they do get displaced after a privatization, it's almost impossible to find a firm that pays such high wages. And so they see huge losses. If you actually look within the privatized firms, they decrease wages consistently for all workers. And so it's really this displacement effect that is causing huge declines for individuals without high school degrees.
As you say, another part of what you're researching here is what happens to the wages that other firms are paying. These workers that are displaced but land another job in an equivalent job, they're still seeing these wage declines.
I guess there's two ways to answer that. One is the workers who get displaced, they have a hard time finding a job as good as the original state-owned enterprises. So they definitely see wage declines.
Yeah.
And then the other way to answer it is, even if you look at someone that's being hired in a private sector firm, they might not be getting as high of wages as they used to, because there's now no longer this giant company with very high wages, poaching workers, increasing wages for everyone in the labor market. And so those workers do also see a decline in wages. And you can calculate what's more important, or what, in terms of the aggregate decline in Brazil, what's more important, the direct impact on the privatized workers or this indirect spillovers?
Yes, how does that split up?
So yeah, this relies on some assumptions that I should be clear on. But if you take the effects I find and apply it to all privatization events in the 90s Again, I didn't have access to data for some of those privatization events, so that's kind of extrapolating out of my sample. But if you do that, you would predict that there's about a 1% decline in the aggregate wage. So that's basically taking those earning losses, multiplying by the fraction of individuals that were in privatized firms, and saying we're about going to see a 1% decline in the formal sector wage in Brazil on aggregate. Now, if you do an analysis that studies how these effects spill over to other private sector workers, incorporate that into this aggregate measurement, you would find that there's about a 3% decline in the aggregate wage. So it does magnify the effect. It's driven more by the indirect spillovers. And the reason for that is the effects on these workers are much smaller at an individual level, but there's just so many more of them. And so when you aggregate all those effects up, it's actually a larger decrease in the aggregate for the spillovers than it is for the direct effects.
Listen, while we're doing calculations on the back of an envelope, as you said, this affected a very large proportion of workers in the Brazilian economy at the same time. What's the aggregate economic effect for Brazil from this?
I can tell you my best guess for the aggregate effect of the wage, but I can't tell you other possible effects. So for example, this is something that kind of calculation I just described would not pick up. For example, if the privatization somehow changed technology adoption in these companies, that technology increased wages for everyone, I wouldn't pick that up because everything I'm identifying is doing differences between labor markets, one that's less exposed versus one that's more exposed. And so if both see technology adoption increase in a way that increases wages, I don't take that into account. And so that's one way in which I'm missing the potential positive effects of privatization. The other giant ones I'm missing are potential impacts on consumers. I don't have information on prices. I don't know what happens to prices in these markets. And so you may potentially think of this as kind of a distributional story until I can say whether this was, you know, good or bad for in the aggregate economy or not.
For our conclusion, because of this very, very large effect, and mostly for low-income people, are we saying that this wave of privatization that occurred, are we saying that it was bad for Brazilian people?
Again, there I would have to say I'm not sure. I think what the paper really does is show that there's some losers, for sure, relative to other individuals. And those are the workers that work at privatized firms and workers that work in labor markets that were highly exposed to privatization. I can't capture the benefits for consumers. I can't capture other potential benefits, such as changes in the efficiency of firms that may help the macroeconomy generally. And so if I want to do a cohesive thing of saying whether this is good or bad, I would need to get more of those benefits. It could be a case of something like trade, which often is documented as having potential benefits for both countries. Mm-hmm. But now there's so much literature showing that while it does potentially increase economic growth overall, there are winners and losers. And so policies need to be developed in order to potentially redistribute from the winners to the losers in order to increase welfare overall. And so this might be another case in which there should be some sort of policies aimed at the potential losers of privatization.
As with most countries that have state-owned enterprises, privatization is always on the political agenda. It is always controversial. And we know in Brazil that still getting a job at Banco do Brasil or Petrobras or Caixa Econômica is considered to be a major win. The money's good, the job's pretty secure. Is it likely for the hundreds of thousands of people that work in these companies that are potentially vulnerable to privatization? Is it likely that this story will repeat itself if in the future they are privatized?
I wouldn't say I know for sure, since I, of course, don't want to extrapolate from past to the present. Mm-hmm. I will talk about some clues that say it may happen again. And so, for example, you mentioned Petrobras, the large oil company in Brazil. There were discussions in 2020 to privatize Petrobras. The immediate reaction was, again, strikes from the workers there. And so that is very similar to what happened to Telebras, the telecommunications company. And so if that is privatized, you might guess that it's going to have a similar story where they're paying very high wages beforehand, and some of those high wages might go down. In general, I think you would need more data on exactly how state-owned enterprises are operating today versus how they are operating in the 90s to make guesses on, you know, other companies that might be privatized in the future.
Well, the political future in Brazil as we record is in flux. We will see.
Of course.
Yes. David, thank you very much for talking about this.
Thank you for having me.
The paper is called The Impact of Privatization of State-Owned Enterprises on Workers. Author, David Arnold. And it is published right about now in the American Economic Journal Applied Economics. And that is an October 2022 published date. This has been a Vox Dev Talk. Now, the best way to make sure you don't miss an episode is to subscribe. Wherever you get your podcasts, when you subscribe, give us a review. Give us 5 stars. And remember, you can always find our podcasts and articles about the papers we feature at voxdev.org.